Yeah, thank you very much. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers and the Global Gas Center to be invited to this, this forum. I'm honored to be able to share the view of my company, being an energy infrastructure company, regarding the big challenges the energy world is facing today, amongst others, to achieve the Paris Agreement goals. Can I have the slides, please? The next one, yes. Thank you. First of all, just a few words about my company, which is probably not very well known around the globe. Fluxys is a Belgian-based company building, owning, and operating gas infrastructure, which means high-pressure pipelines, LNG receiving terminals, and underground gas storage. But no activities at all in the area of gas trade itself, as we are a fully unbundled company, as it is required by the EU. Today, we are active mainly in Europe, but since very recently also in South America, and more specifically Brazil, where we are co-owner in a 2,300-kilometer pipeline between Brazil and Bolivia. Next slide, please. So you could ask the question, why is European or Belgian gas infrastructure company investing in Brazil? Well, the reason is quite simple if you look at the forecast for global gas demand. The Paris Agreement is pushing countries to shift from high carbon content fossil fuels to lower carbon or carbon neutral fuels. And while in Europe, this creates a shift from mainly from fossil fuels to electrification and towards carbon neutral energy sources, in most countries, it was already mentioned by previous speakers, this creates in first instance an opportunity to shift from oil and coal to natural gas being the cleanest fossil fuel. Natural gas is indeed part of the solution to evolve to a low-carbon society. Not only can it lead to a reduction of CO2 emissions in industry and power production, but also in the transportation sector, mainly for heavy trucks and shipping. Therefore, it can create plenty of opportunities for the development of large and small-scale LNG projects, such as large and small-scale LNG receiving terminals, truck loading stations, inland and seagoing LNG fueling vessels, and of course the introduction of LNG-fueled trucks and ships. In order to further reduce the carbon footprint, natural gas can also be replaced by carbon-neutral biomethane, which could be locally produced from organic waste and manure. Next slide, please. While we see gas demand rising across the globe, except in Europe, Europe has a challenge to decarbonize. Now, if you look at this graph, you will see the total energy demand in the EU on the left side, and where you see that electricity only is, let's say, between 22 and 25% of the total energy demand at this moment. And of this 22 or 25%, only 32% is really renewable. So also in the EU and in Europe, there is a big, a long way to go. So the challenge would be to become, for Europe to become carbon neutral by 2050. As far as we look into the studies that exist today, in 2050, we think that in Europe, 50% will be electricity, 50% molecules. So there is a big challenge in the EU. How will we achieve this, knowing that it has to be done with wind and sun, which is not always abundant everywhere in the EU, and the other 50% will have to be achieved with carbon-neutral molecules. And next slide, please. So the vision of the future of the gas sector has already been explained by previous speakers. So also we see a future for power to gas, the creation of hydrogen backbones, which is already on, let's say, being planned in the EU today, because we will have to transport hydrogen from hydrogen producing regions to consumption regions in the EU, in Europe, but also with the connecting countries and connecting continents. Biomethane production also, we have to scale up carbon capture and storage and also heat recovery and heat networks. Or to finance all this, it's a big challenge, and therefore the EU has created several financial tools. So there is, for example, the Recovery and Resilience Facility. We talk about 760 billion euros in grants and in loans, other funds as well. There are also a possibility of guarantees. And what's also happening in EU is what they call taxonomy. So they are defining what is sustainable and what is not sustainable. And if it's not defined as sustainable, then you will not get access to these funds and grants. And also the banks are following this tendency. And then I come to the next slide. When we talk about commodities, we think about food, oil, electricity. However, in a carbon low economy, sun and wind are becoming valuable commodities to produce renewable electricity. The main issue is that transporting and storing electricity is expensive, as already been told by the previous speaker, and not always possible, especially when we think about transporting electricity between continents or storing it for between seasons. This gives rise to a new conversion industry to convert green electricity in molecules. These business opportunities can be seized by the countries where we have an abundance of wind and sun. And so we think there is an opportunity, especially if we look at the map in Northern Africa, in Southern Africa and in South America, to become exporters, not of sun and wind as such, but of hydrogen, ammonia, or other products that can be produced by green electricity. I thank you for your attention.